Hey everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Rings and Split hop into the box office dueling match there, and who comes out the winner? Well, we'll tell you in just a second. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Popcorn Talk, the show Box Office Breakdown. We know the show. Look at that. This is a show that breaks down the box office for the weekend that was, and then we like to
prognosticate.
Oh, look at that, just trilling those R's. Yes.
I think that wasn't my best.
You want one more time at this?
No.
Okay. I wasn't my best, but we'll continue on with the show. We prognosticate about the box office for the week ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
Hi, guys. I'm Quinn Skillian. You can follow me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian.
Oh, look at that, folks. And Carrie D. Lane, she is off doing her big burlesque show this weekend.
Ooh,
this evening, as a matter
sensual.
Of fact. So, yes. So she has her own Bollywood dance, a solo number that she's
nice.
Doing. So very excited. So we talked a little bit about that last week. Maybe some of you are checking it out if you're a fan of Carrie.
Yeah,
maybe you're checking it out
on
person.
Social media.
That's right.
But it's just the two of us.
That's right.
We can make it if we try, just the two of us. That was also not my best, but I also won't retry that one either.
Look at that. I like that. It's just one and done Quinn.
Yeah, you know what? You just gotta let it go.
But folks, you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. You can give us those 5 stars on iTunes.
Please.
You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you can hop in the chat. Marcus in the booth is going to pull up the chat so you guys can comment about anything that you've been seeing in terms of movies or just anything about the box office as well.
Or anything going on in your life. How are you doing?
There you go.
Interested in you guys all psychologically, so
there
what's
you
going
go.
On?
Yes. Now, of course, something to do if you're going to be watching Box Office Breakdown, you know, you're probably sitting there at home, relaxed, cozy, but you might get a little grumbly tumbly. Yeah, a little
you mean hungry?
Yeah, there you go. Grumbly tumbly? Hungry?
Probably not after the Super Bowl, but maybe tomorrow.
That's true. Maybe you're, you know, you've eaten a lot of food over there, and you're like, you know, I ate a lot of pizza, I ate a lot of this, but you know what would be great is like a nice home-cooked meal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know who's got you covered if you want to do something like that? You want
Who?
To cook something food?
Who does?
Yeah, if you want to cook something at home that's delicious all by yourself, Blue Apron has you covered.
Oh, yeah, tell me more about that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Now, they do this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Now, let's be honest, folks. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. And research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often.
Wow.
You know, and those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Now, look at some of these upcoming meals. I bet your taste buds are going to start watering as I describe these to you, Quinn.
Go for it.
Cashew chicken stir fry with tango mandarins and jasmine rice.
Yeah.
Roasted pork with apple, walnut, and farro salad.
Heck yeah.
Crispy barramundi with quinoa and roasted carrot salad.
I don't know
salad.
What that is. It sounds delicious.
It's, oh, yes. Come on, quinoa? How can you go wrong with quinoa?
Oh, yeah, baby.
And udon noodle soup with miso and soft boiled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. Now, what's great about that is, you know, it comes in a little package for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can choose what you want.
It comes right to your front door.
With easy-to-follow instructions. You, know, mm-hmm. you can make it yourself. You feel like...
I have done Blue Apron.
Yes.
It is really, really fun.
It gives you that chance to feel like you're Gordon Ramsay. Or,
oh, yeah.
Yes, or like a chef from
and,
Top Chef.
You know,
chef.
You would just like things that you would never think to make before. And you're just like, oh, that's probably really good. Me and my little brain. I know like 3 recipes.
Yeah.
I would never think to make that.
They do the thinking for you. They give you the freshest ingredients possible, easy to follow instructions, and make you feel like a master chef in your very own home. Now, as I mentioned, it's less than $10 per person per meal. And, of course, they deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You can choose from a variety of new recipes every week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. So you can
Ooh,
put yourself in their hands.
Chef's choice.
That's right.
Very
and they
nice.
Won't let you down. They are going to give you the best food, and recipes aren't repeated for a year, so you'll never get bored. There's always a great variety of things to choose
only
from.
A bummer if you really liked one, I guess.
Now, but if you liked it so much, then you know the ingredients are used, and you're still gonna
that's
have the recipe
true.
Card
that's
so,
true you can just do it yourself.
Yeah, you like
DIY
it so much, go buy the ingredients yourself and you make it again.
Very nice.
Yeah. Now, each meal comes with a step-by-step easy to follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Look at that.
Nice.
Stand-up people there. Now, you can check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/boxoffice. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredibly home-cooked meals with Blue Apron So don't wait. Come on, folks. Look at that. You can pull out stuff in one window. You can pull up Blue Apron in the other. Like, order mm-hmm. your meals right there. Lickety split. There
and
you
I
go.
Can vouch.
So good you, stuff. Actually, that's right. They're like, fine. If you can't take it from Quinn, who yeah. are you going to take it from? Look at that. That's blueapron.com/boxoffice. Blue Apron. It is simply a better way to cook.
Ooh, yes, it is, honey.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So we've got some hot box office stuff here. Now, of course, right out of the way, last week's box office bet was for Rings. Mm-hmm. Caroline and I.
And how'd that fall
Rings.
Out?
Well, you know, we both kind of thought Rings may take it, thing yeah. being a new horror film. But it, I went big.
Especially because The Ring was so popular, wasn't it?
It did really well. I mean, it got 23 million, you know, when it first came out. So
The Ring did?
Ring and Ring 2 did 15 and 23 million.
See, that almost seems lower than I would have thought. It was all the rage.
Yeah.
You know, those, I swear, The Ring, the commercials for that movie, I never saw it, but I had the craziest nightmares just from the commercials of that movie.
Yeah, it's from everything that I've read in the reviews and stuff, say that I'm not in store for a good time. And I say that because I went high. I pulled a Quinn Skillion.
Mm-hmm.
I shot for the
60
moon.
Mil?
I didn't go 60 mil, but I had high hopes that The Rings, given that it, you know, it's a beloved franchise.
Sure.
Like, even though it's coming off, gosh, almost like a 12-year kind of gap.
Yeah, one of these gaps we keep seeing.
Yeah, and
I'm not talking about the beloved clothing store.
No, we're talking about, yeah.
about that treacherous 10-year gap we keep getting between reboots.
And it seems like every time we've done that, it's not turned out well for those films.
Yeah.
And this followed that same pattern. So, unfortunately, I thought Rings was going to be number one at 22 million. It came in at number two behind Split.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie DeLane won that bet. So I'll be going to see Rings.
I mean, look at Split, you know,
yes.
third week up there, number one.
14.5. I think people are really liking this.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
No. I definitely do want to check that out. Just to see, certainly, I don't feel like it's, I mean, maybe it's a slower mm-hmm. time of year, but still, there's something to that film that's
I will say,
audiences.
I don't know the twist of this movie. You do know mm-hmm. the twist. A lot of people who I know who haven't seen the movie know the twist.
That was one of the first things
the
that
spoiler.
I think leaked out. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like, it's a reveal. It's not like a spoiler, but it's a cool reveal.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not like
kind of what he's known for. That's kind of his thing.
Yeah, but it's sort of like different than
Bruce
like Success.
Bruce Willis was a ghost.
Yeah, it's not where it makes you rethink the whole entire movie you just watched. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. Basically, it just kind of, you know, it excites you about the possibilities that lay ahead.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dying to see this one. I don't love me a scary movie, but this kind of seems like one that's kind of got that kind of psychological. It's, you know, kind of more psyche over the scary,
yeah.
which is more my style. So I'm really psyched to see it. I couldn't rally a friend to come with me this week.
Quinn.
I just couldn't get anyone to come with me. I don't know if that was the movie or if it was me.
It's never you.
Thanks.
Yes.
That's exactly what you say.
Are you a James McAvoy fan?
I really am. Like, I really am.
Yeah.
I remember him all the way back from Narnia. Do you remember when he was in Narnia?
Yes.
He was so cute. And then he was, you know, Professor X and all that. I really like him.
I liked him as Professor X.
Well, oh, my God. Atonement.
I never saw that.
You haven't?
No.
One of my favorites.
Really?
Beautiful film. So, so good. I love that movie. And
but
he's great in it.
That movie seems like one that you watch once and like, that was great. I never need to see it again.
Oh, I've seen it a couple times and it breaks my heart every single time. It's almost like the Titanic thing where you just like, you want it just to be the ending, the better ending just once. You just want it to happy ending just once and you never get it. But it's really, really, really good. And that's Saoirse Ronan, really young Saoirse Ronan in there. Keira Knightley. Beautiful, beautiful dress on her that I remember everyone was really obsessed with. Anyway, great movie.
Would you like for Blu-rays for a film like that has some kind of sadness, like Titanic or Atonement?
You have to like offer.
To offer just randomly.
Choose your own adventure.
Just randomly. You watch it 10 times, one of those 10 times, it'll automatically default to like the happy ending.
Yeah, but no, because then it would take away why I care so much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the sad ending that makes you, you know, care.
You're like, wait, that ended up.
And I will say, I started Max Steel this week.
Oh, yes. All right. Before we continue on the rest of this week's top five box office, what are your first initial thoughts on Max Steel?
Oh, I only watched the first 10 minutes.
That was it. Okay.
I fell asleep.
What?
I fell asleep.
I'm going to say that that's because you were exhausted from a physically and mentally demanding week and not because the film was kind of dull.
I'm not going to say there wasn't a little bit of maybe wine involved in the sleeping as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I watched like the first 10 minutes and it was just like weird and I just fell asleep and I woke up and I was like, well, I tried. And I think trying counts.
All right, so break down those first 10 minutes for me.
No.
No?
Move on.
Nothing exciting? Nothing no. That were you watching go like, what am I watching? Or were you at least intrigued about anything?
Nothing really happened in the first 10 minutes, so there's like nothing really to get into.
Oh, gotcha.
But I do also wanted to talk later, but I did want to like give a quick rundown of my favorite movies of 2016.
Ooh!
But what? We can talk about that later.
Oh, holy shnikes. Look at that. Quinn came ready to play. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, so Split, number one, $14.5 million here at the box office. Number two, Rings. Carrie Lane, bet 16. I shot high with 22. Couldn't get anybody really to come out on the $22 million ledge with me. And rightfully so, because it only pulled in $13 million this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be seeing this movie. I'm excited.
Which one?
Rings. I was more excited, but now that the trailer's excited.
Did you see Ring?
I saw the first two.
Okay, so you get it.
Yeah, but I feel like after reading the reviews, like it's like, okay. What you've seen in the trailer is pretty much it. So you're like, great. So I've got that looking forward to me. Over there in the chat, we've got Media Shock back in the chat. He's taking a little time off. He's been busy, but he said he was going to come back and show us how it was done here in the chat.
Good.
So Media Shock,
I'm glad
to have
here,
you back
Media
there.
Shock.
Yes.
Leo died handcuffed in the belly of the... Oh, yeah, right? I was thinking about this also, because there's an interview. We don't have to talk about Titanic. Well, I'm just going to talk about Titanic.
Okay.
There's an interview right now that's kind of going viral with Kiki Palmer. I don't know if you know. She's an actress. She was in Aquila and the Bees, and she's also a singer and whatever. And she's talking to Steve Harvey.
Okay.
And she's talking about Titanic. She's talking about the ending and when Rose, stays on the door and how, Leo and how, they could have, fixed that situation. And I'm sitting here being like, okay, so, let's pretend that Rose and Leo both lived. Do you think that they would live happily ever after? Because wasn't Leo just, the impetus for her to, get away from her life and, be her own woman and everything? And, once she had decided she could do that, I don't even know if she would, if she would want to stay with him. And, maybe that would be even more sad for them to, fall out of love with each other?
Or maybe this is such a traumatic circumstance that it just, it brought them together in such a way that they wanted to spend the rest of their lives together.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It could have ended up even sadder than it did. That's
interesting.
All I'm saying. Because now she has this wonderful romantic memory of the whole thing that she gets to carry with her. She had this wonderful love.
She
and
gets
she didn't
to
have
look
to
through,
watch it like, yeah.
She gets to look through rose-colored glasses.
Ooh! That's a pun.
You're welcome.
So I don't know. That's just that was just a thing that I was thinking, guys. That's
okay.
All
right. There you go. And let's open in the chat. What happened to DJ Richie Sky? We've got Starfire asking that. DJ Richie Sky with the move to Sunday, other obligations have prevented Richie Sky from joining us on a regular basis, but he does at least want to try to come in at one time to say a proper farewell to you folks. So just know that Richie Sky is fantastic. He's amazing. He's an awesome guy. We would love to have him back here, but until something changes, he's going to have to be away from us for a while, which is unfortunate. But we love him. Keep following him. I see those posts on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Stalk me.
That's right. We keep stalking
him.
And stalking him is, if you want to see somebody doing some flexing, some posing in front of a mirror.
In the gym?
Yeah, Richie's guy's got you covered, man.
How do we feel about that?
Oh.
Do we like gym pics or do we not like gym pics? Comment in this.
That's right.
Leave your opinion in the comments.
There you go. Let's not talk about movies, guys. Let's talk about gym pics.
I want to know what you guys think about gym pics on social media.
Coming back in number three for our top five at the domestic box office, A Dog's Purpose there from Universal, $10.8 million. And
which really, who saw that coming?
Well, I mean, there was so much controversy.
But also, I mean, this is just a product of some pretty low numbers. I mean, if we had any other movies in here, if we had anything doing, bigger movie coming in, we would not see A Dog's Purpose on this list.
Well, given the
you just got lucky.
We do have some big films coming out this next weekend, so I feel like at least two, if not three, of these could be bumped off the list entirely by next weekend. But I've got to go see Dog's Purpose as well.
Yeah.
I lost the bet on that one too, so I've got a double feature coming my way.
Okay.
Which I feel like I will do a lot of crying in A Dog's Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just tears, just waterworks. So
I can't believe I only watched the first 10 minutes of Max Steel.
Neither can I. I can't believe it. I mean, not only me, but everybody there in the chat cannot believe
that you
let them down this way. Because they were counting on Quinn Skillion's
in-depth
analysis.
Honestly, I was hoping that I would come in here and the first 10 minutes would be enough to get me out of the commitment. Is that not
no.
t- damn it.
No, 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 Quinn. No, no.
But I rented it, and the rental expired.
What?
You have to rent Max Steel twice?
Is it only like 99 cents rental?
Yeah, no, it's not expensive.
Okay, all right. Whew. I mean, and you're rolling in the dough, Quinn. Coming in number four in the box office, there, Hidden Figures from Fox, another $10.1 million to it. So far, $119 million for that film.
I am so upset with myself that I haven't seen it yet.
I'm bummed about it, too.
I feel very embarrassed when I tell people that.
I don't feel embarrassed.
I feel insecure. Really? And everyone's like, you haven't seen it? How have you not seen it? It was like these beautiful women performances in this fantastic, wonderful movie. And I'm just like, yeah, you're right. What's wrong with me?
Well, you know, there's things, you know, you have a lot of stuff happening in your life. Sometimes it's tough to make the time out. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. look, you couldn't even, for a high-quality film like Max Steel, you could only make 10 minutes. So.
I know.
You know, if I mean, if Max still can only get 10 minutes, I mean... You
and know, I had to get a little drunk to even start it, which is probably why I don't really...
Well, you don't have to get drunk for Hidden Figures.
No, that's true.
There you go.
That's
but true. You could go to a theater that does serve some alcohol while you're watching
there it. There are some really, really fancy theaters in LA. I'll be honest. They have booze and really good food. And you can sit right there in your chair and eat a pizza.
Yeah, I wonder, does Hidden Figures, just playing devil's advocate, does it warrant a big screen... watching. Can you just watch it if you have a screener?
Could but you watch I think it at it's home? One of those things where it's like, if we weren't in award season, it wasn't like a time limit thing here, of course I would just wait for it to come out. It would be like, no big deal.
Yeah.
But since it's the kind of thing where it's like, you got to kind of see it in the theaters or you don't really see it, you got to just go see it. And I just feel like I'm letting down, like, I don't know.
Well, then.
All the wonderful people in my life.
You've got to, I mean, you're at the start of a whole new work week. So you have time to change your fate.
You're right.
Quinn, you can go see it this week.
Change your fate.
Change.
That's from Brave.
That's right.
Another really wonderful film that we don't have to get into at this moment.
As Alvin says in the chat, Hidden Figures is great, but it's not Max Steel.
Yeah.
There you go. That's true.
Listen, Alvin, I don't think you ever saw Max Steel. Did he? You didn't.
You know, I want to feel like that...
Like, I really think that all these people in the chat keep bringing it up, but they wouldn't touch it with a 20-foot pole.
No, yeah, I feel like at least Sky Patterson or Alvin have been back.
Yeah, somebody must have seen it.
Somebody's got your back.
Somebody must have seen it.
Rounding out the top five from Lionsgate film, La La Land. There you go, another $7.4 million. $118 million so far.
Yeah.
I gotta give that film a second chance. I still don't know exactly how I feel about it.
I really liked it, and then all of a sudden I go through moments where I don't think it's an important enough movie to be garnering so much attention, like the story it's telling. I'm like wondering if that's, you know, permeating enough to like be a lasting kind of, you know, moral or story or whatever. And I'm just like, I really go back and forth with how important I think that movie is, like in our like social dialogue. Not that every movie has to be important, but you know, when we are looking at things like Hidden Figures and we are looking at, you know, kind of like, I don't know, representation and the Oscars and everything, it starts to look a little.
No, I mean, and certainly, I mean, the Oscars lacking. Has a track record for just, you know, being awarding for the zeitgeist and not for something that is of longer lasting duration.
So I don't know. I don't know. Like, do you think that movie has, like, you know, is it going to be like a Moulin Rouge where we want to go back and watch it, you know, all the time? Or
I don't even. I mean, I feel I definitely want to see it at least one more time. So for me, I feel like it's got its hooks in me in that extent.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I need to give one more shot to see, like, am I... Because I'm not raving about it.
Yeah.
Like, other people are. And I feel like maybe I should give one more viewing to see.
I think that, like, the further we get away here, the more people are starting to get critical. I think, like, when it first came out, it was really... It was like what I'm talking about, like this kind of comet, kind of like burned really bright, really hot, and now it's kind of starting to fizzle, and I'm starting to see more negative reviews for it than I am seeing positive reviews.
Well, I feel like that's the thing with any film that's getting a lot of a lot of award nominations and stuff, that there is going to be at some point some kind of backlash against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it depends on the award cycle when that backlash hits.
Interesting. Okay. Javante Jones says, I feel the unimportance of La La Land sets it apart. I totally see where you're coming from, because I do think that you just get to let movies just be movies. I talk about this a lot, and I don't need every single movie to have, you know, this, like, lesson or moral or whatever, or a history lesson. I don't need that. But, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't think that Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling are like very good singers or dancers or anything. And I'm like, what if they had taken people from Broadway and showcased, you know, really, really talented, you know, larger than life actors who wouldn't normally get to do anything like that? Because that, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, although I feel like there's also on the devil advocate side of it, they're just like using actors that aren't those Broadway singers, mm-hmm. singers, dancers.
And just kind of being more the every people, which is what I liked about it at the start. Yes. And now all of a sudden I'm like questioning how I feel about it. I don't know.
I mean, because I guess if you get down to it, it's just about, you know, hey, guess what? Sometimes relationships don't work.
Yeah.
And like that's pretty much where you walk away from the movie. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I'd be curious. I mean, it's getting so many, and I don't know if it's just like we're talking about now, but just like the time we're in right now, given the way society is at this moment, that La La Land just kind of stokes that fire for certain people. Mm-hmm. That's why it's getting so much love.
Too, you know, yeah. It's you just come. Sometimes you just really just need to watch a happy feel good movie.
Oh, that's
would we call it a happy feel good movie?
I wouldn't.
Actually, I would. I totally would.
Really?
Yeah. Just in terms of tone.
Yeah, but
even though the ending wasn't necessarily happy, I still feel like the movie really had kind of like hunky dory quality.
Mm, yeah, I mean, I feel like it just basically tells
in
you
the same
like,
way that 500 Days of Summer isn't like a happy movie. It has like that kind of happy, quirky quality to it that doesn't like it's not like watching a sad movie, even though it doesn't end happy.
Hmm. Well, thanks for spoiling that movie for me, Quinn.
They don't end up together.
I guess
that, even after that amazing date at IKEA.
Oh, I mean, well, gosh, how could that not work? That seems like the foundation for a solid relationship is mm-hmm. is a date at IKEA.
Did you guys ever see that show that they filmed out of IKEA?
No.
There was like a bunch of people went in and like filmed a TV show like without IKEA knowing.
That's great.
I can't remember what it's called. It's on the internet somewhere. I always thought that was really funny. Like all those sets were just like there.
So that is our top five here. We'll touch base on, as we're talking about La La Land, some international numbers. La La Land has charmed its way to another $20.1 million in overseas songbook. That takes the modern day musical to $150 million abroad and across the $250 million global mark for a total of $268 million to date worldwide. Now, Resident Evil, the final chapter, staked out another $16.5 million in 57 markets, and it's soon going to pass $100 million overseas earlier this week. Paramount's Rings got $15.2 million. It ran some circles around some of the comps in its Latin American box office debuts, including a number one in Brazil that fast-forwarded it to the second biggest horror launch ever in that market.
Wow.
That seems amazing to
me. In Brazil?
Yeah.
You got some passionate fans in Brazil.
Yeah. Sadly, though, the European majors, though, were less engaged, however. Did not strike it big there in a lot of European markets.
Okay.
Now, Split held offshore audiences captive for another $14.6 million, including a 5% hike in Germany. Those Germans like their psychological thrillers, I guess.
That feels like really on brand for them, doesn't it?
Yeah. And elsewhere, Triple X's The Return of Xander Cage from Paramount crossed the $100 million international box office line for $112.4 million to date.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen XXX Return of Xander Cage?
No, and I won't.
You won't?
No.
Why not?
Because I have no interest. Zero.
Really?
Sorry.
Are you a Fast and Furious fan or no?
I am. I am a Fast and Furious fan, but more for the style of the Fast and Furious over the nostalgia for the Fast and Furious. I don't really have that for this.
Gotcha. But is it something about like also the team aspect? It's not, you're not just going to see a Vin Diesel movie, but you're also going to see Rock. You're going to see mm-hmm. Michelle Rodriguez. You're going to
maybe,
see Ludacris.
Maybe. And like, honestly, like I'm really picky about my action movies. I do not race to the theater ever to see an action movie. And so there's got to be something like kind of special about it for me to really want to go see it. And it doesn't have it for me.
But a Fast and Furious film does. Just because it's like really crazy over the top action.
Yeah. And because like, you know, they're so novel at this point and it has that kind of quality to it, which like, I don't know if that does.
If I would say, just to pique your interest, perhaps.
Yeah.
I feel like XXX Return of Xander Cage is very similar to Fast and Furious 4, where it kind of resets the deck for the Fast and Furious franchise, kind of gets all the players in place and starts building an ongoing narrative, kind of incorporating everything that's come before. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's what this movie does. So if there was to be another film, I feel like, you know, it's a great thing. It kind of assembles a team. Mm-hmm. You'd see how that team would work together in future films. So, there is something that's kind of intriguing. Do you like Donnie Yen?
Who's that?
Oh, he's a Asian martial artist superstar.
He's probably really fierce.
He's awesome in this movie. Donnie Yen kicks some butt in this movie.
Oh, good for him.
Yes, yeah, so if you love Donnie Yen, you were not disappointed by XXX Return to Xander Cage.
Okay.
All right, I'm not winning Quinn over whatsoever. Fine, I got it. Now, of course, we did our box office bet earlier. I found out that I lost, so I'll have to be going to see Rings. But we're going to be doing the box office bet in just a little bit. Just to start giving you some ideas of what you can vote on for in the box office bet, the three films that will be in contention for your votes are 50 Shades Darker, the second film in the 50 Shades series.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what, because it's gray, darker, and then whatever the third one is.
Did you see the first one?
I did not.
Me and my friend Maddie decided we're going to watch the 50 Shades of Grey movie, and we were going to really try and, like, let ourselves enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, like, not try and, like, judge it, and we were really going to try and just, like, kind of, like, you know, just enjoy this, like, kind of cliche thing or whatever. And we sat there, we're like, okay, no judgments, no preconceived notions. We couldn't do it.
Really?
It was so cringy and weird, and like, it felt like a movie that was like not supposed to be rated R. Mm. And then all of a sudden they were like, she would be nude, and you're like, this feels really out of place. Like, the tonally, it doesn't feel like, it was just so, so weird. The only part I liked was the Love Me Like You Do song that was like the kind of, you know, how like now it's the Zayn and the Taylor Swift song,
oh, yeah,
which is so not as good as Love Me Like You Do, which was like such a banger, which is the only good thing about that movie.
Did you read the book or only see the movie?
I read the book. Like, I started it because I was like, I want to know what everyone's like, what is everyone talking about, what it's like, and it was terrible.
But because, well, I didn't know this before, but somebody told me that it originally started off as she was more of a fan fiction writer, kind of doing like Twilight fan fiction.
That's where it started. Yeah.
Wow. So interesting.
So yeah, I think you can kind of understand where that kind of comes from a little bit, but you know, she's such a Mary Sue. She's just too perfect. She like can't drink coffee because like she can't have that much caffeine. Like, okay, go die. Can't handle it.
But I, from what I've heard, the film kind of dials back a lot of the extremeness of the book.
I only read like the first couple chapters of the book.
You didn't finish the book? Okay.
No, I mean, it was really, really bad. And I'm sure the book was more explicit than the movie. But I mean, the lack of chemistry between them is just like so palpable. Like, it's
yeah,
kind of a bummer.
Oh well, clearly it did well enough for Universal for them to greenlight a sequel. So we've got 50 Shades Darker. We've got John Wick Chapter 2. Is that an action film franchise you're a fan of?
No.
Okay.
Did we need a second one?
I don't know if we needed a second one, but we got one.
So I guess that's the world we live in.
There you go. You don't want to see Keanu Reeves doing some action?
No.
No.
I told you, I'm not. I don't rush to go see an action movie.
What about the Matrix? The whole Matrix series that kind of ends on a sour note, but at least the first film.
Yes. Yeah, I liked it.
Fine. Point Break with Keanu Reeves.
I'd never seen it.
No.
No.
All right.
But I only saw the Matrix like once or twice, like a long time ago.
Okay. So Keanu Reeves as an action star does not do much for you.
I don't think Keanu Reeves does much for anybody.
You don't think so?
No,
come on.
That
I think
guy
he does
cannot act.
He can act. I think, I mean, he's definitely, he's gotten better as he's gotten older. So Keanu Reeves offers a lot. Come on now. Quinn's sticking to her guns, though. I see. And lastly, the third film to bet on is the Lego Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
I am stoked to see this movie.
This will be cool. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Oh, man, look at you. You are a tough critic tonight.
It'll
you
be
are
fun.
Tough.
I'm not tough. You know, you just, you gravitate towards what you gravitate towards. You don't have to like every movie.
So, of course, folks, start chiming away there in the chat which you'd like us to do our box office bet on. 50 Shades Darker, John Wick Chapter 2, or the Lego Batman movie. As always, I will turn to my trusty, reliable vote tabulator, Alvin, there in the chat to keep a track on everything. But before we get to the results of that, we're going to do a little box office rewind here. We like to take somebody that's going to be in one of the upcoming films and kind of do a look back for their top five opening box office films.
Again, one of these lists that just doesn't do their work justice. You know?
No.
Another one.
You know, of course, you know, with the Keanu Reeves, The Matrix, you know, they kind of dominated. So I wanted to find an actor that kind of had a nice variety of top five films. Mm-hmm. So for that, I dug into the Lego Batman movie cast and found good old Rosario Dawson.
Good old Rosario.
Good old
Dawson.
Rosario Dawson.
I can't believe Clerks isn't on here.
But she a very wide variety.
But how good is she in Sin City, though?
Yeah, she's
that
great.
That movie's awesome.
Yeah. But coming in at number five for her, again, this is just that opening box office weekend, not talking about in total for the box office, for the overall gross, but just opening box office weekend, her number fifth highest rated opening weekend was for Zookeeper, the Kevin James film from 2011. Oof, $20 million that opening weekend. I am just not a Kevin James fan. It's just tough. Like Paul Mountcart.
He's a, in, you know, America Can Wait.
Yeah.
He's, that's him in that, right? That's Kevin James? Or it's Kevin Can Wait.
Well, oh, the TV show? Yeah,
Kevin Can Wait. Kevin James, right? Yep. I totally ruined the joke, but it was America Can Wait for Kevin Can Wait.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I've never got onto the bandwagon for him.
That's fair.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Okay, I feel like you. I've been so shady tonight, so I'm like,
totally. Oh, now.
Okay. I'm totally open to you, like, disliking Kevin James.
I like that. Now you just leave me on the Kevin James Island all alone. Yeah. Gotcha.
I love Kevin James. I don't. Come on. You know I don't.
Coming in at number four, Unstoppable from Fox came out in 2010. $22.6 million. That was the Chris Pine Denzel Washington film with her on the runaway train.
Mm-hmm.
That was.
Did you see it?
Yeah. I mean, it was. It's, you know, it's something, it doesn't, you know, break any new ground on there, but it's just a nice, solid, just kind of film in that kind of vein.
I do remember this one. I did not see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. Serviceable. I feel like it's like journeyman work. If you look at that, you're like, okay. Cool. Thanks.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Coming in number three for Rosario Dawson, Eagle Eye. Back from Paramount and DreamWorks, 2008, $29.1 million.
These are some low numbers.
Yeah, it's even though that one ended up doing over $101 million, its initial opening, kind of low.
Yeah, kind of low.
Yeah. Did you see it? It was
fine. In 2008?
Yeah, DJ Caruso directed it, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it.
Michelle Monaghan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
Love Michelle Monaghan.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Love her.
It's coming in at number two, another franchise that never really took off, or at least it attempted and never really landed, or never really took flight. Percy Jackson and the Olympians, Lightning Thief.
This was a big one with the kids.
I never saw either of them.
They were really trying to kind of have this be the young adult kind of next Harry Potter thing, I think.
And I feel like after the second one, it just clearly didn't do well enough to warrant continuing.
It also really, really needed really, really sophisticated CGI, and they just weren't doing it.
Hmm.
And that made it look a little silly.
That came out from Fox in 2010, did $31.2 million its opening weekend.
Mm-hmm. I like Logan Lerman, though.
Yeah?
I kick an axe.
I mean, I love the idea of, like, mythology of Greek myths and Roman myths. I like the idea of that. I just never got around to watching any of those.
Well, yeah, I think it's for people younger than us, too.
Oh. What about The Young at Heart, Quinn? Does that not count?
I don't think your heart is even young.
Well, I'm dead inside, so I think we all know that.
We have to put that pacemaker in.
And then coming in at number one, back in 2002, Men in Black 2 from Sony. $52.1 million.
$52.1 million for Men in Black 2.
Yeah. And I felt like this was like, because at the end, she becomes a new agent. We never really see anything that comes with that. Men in Black 2 was kind of eh, but I actually, Men in Black 3, I really enjoyed.
Good.
I got teary-eyed
in
Men in Black 3. I would have thought that.
What year did Men in Black 3 come out?
Ooh, that was, what, 2008, 2009, 10, somewhere around there?
Okay.
Yeah, it was like, I think it's closer to 10, so a good, like, you know, 8 years or so after it.
So the first one and the third one, yes.
The second one kind of,
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, the third one's got some time travel in it, and I'm a sucker for time travel stories.
Me too.
It tugged at my heartstrings.
Me too.
So.
Did you see The Time Traveler's Wife?
I did, you know.
Oh, no, that's not the one I liked. I liked the one with Domhnall Gleeson. That was the other one.
Oh,
they both had Rachel McAdams in them.
Yes, where he goes into a closet.
It's and so good. Yes,
I do want to see that one, because they're by Roger Curtis from Love Actually.
The Time Traveler. I don't know.
Yeah, it's got Bill Nighy in there.
Yes. Bill Nighy's in it.
So,
really sweet movie.
I do want to see that one, because it seems like that's going to be more up my alley than Time Traveler's Wife was,
Yeah, no, totally. This is a much better version of that. You remember, like, when, like, The Illusionist and the Prestige came out at the same time? It's kind of the same with these two.
Which one did you like better?
The Prestige.
Yeah, I just was a sucker for that
one. So good.
I saw Edward Norton. I mean, you know, you were fine in The Illusionist.
No, it was a fine movie.
Just the Prestige
was dope.
Yeah.
Dark. So good.
So, we've got Of course, our three films that are vying for your vote in the box office best. So keep chiming away in the chat room on your vote there. Again, 50 Shades Darker, John Wick Chapter 2, and the Lego Batman movie. But before we get to the results of the box office bet, we're going to do our predictions for next week's top five in the box office. Now, a few notes before we do the predictions. The Lego movie that started off this whole Lego movie franchise there opened up in 2014 with $69 million.
Great.
It's opening weekend. 50 Shades of Grey opened in 2015 with $85 million. Pretty much the same time of year as it did two years ago.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get the same. I don't think we're going to get $85 million for the sequel, but I still think it's going to do pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that movie was panned more than it was applauded, so I think it's going to factor
I
in.
I know, but we don't, it's no competition for it in terms of genre. It's just kind of like one of those movies you just go see because all that's been going on is the Oscars. Everyone just wants to go see something that it doesn't have to be like, I really think this movie's going to still make some money, for sure.
Yeah. And then John Wick opened up in 2014. With a surprisingly $14.4 million.
$14.4?
Yeah, but I think it had a lot more. It had a lot of legs. So.
How much money did the last Lego movie make?
Gosh, that made...
What was the last Lego movie?
That was the one that the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome.
Oh, that's just what the last one was? That was really fun.
Yeah. So that,
was so cute. So I think this one's going to do really well. And we got lots of big voices in this.
Yes.
Like huge voices.
And a lot of fun cameos as well, too.
It'll be good.
With those three in the mix there.
Oh, my gosh. 50 Shades of Grey equals $69 million. I see what you did there, and I appreciate it. Kid humor, and I love it.
So, 50 Shades Darker, John Wick Chapter 2, the Lego Batman movie. How will they affect our current top five?
Let's look at these theaters, too. I mean, we got, you know, 50 Shades is going to be going pretty normal, but 3,700 theaters. Yeah. John Wick, only 2,900. And Lego Batman, over 4,000 theaters, baby.
Yes.
It's going to make money.
Just a little bit, I think.
It's going to make money.
For me, if you want, I'm gonna go Lego Batman movie number one.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna rock.
Totally gonna.
Man, I would love to do John Wick number two.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, I think there's a lot more buzz about this. I'm torn because you're right. Like 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does have a fan base. I just, you know.
And there's nothing in theaters right now. People are gonna want to go see it. I really think it's gonna do well. I don't think it's gonna do $80 million.
I'm torn between seeing if that's going to do number two or number three. Uh-huh. I think it's a toss-up between John Wick and...
I totally agree.
But I think I'm going... Because I feel like everybody that would want to see John Wick would also probably want to see the Lego Batman movie. And they're probably, to be honest, a little bit more excited.
What about the kids? What about the kids?
Yeah.
All the kids are going to go see Lego.
Yeah. So I feel like it's going to be Lego. I'm going to go Lego, 50 Shades Darker, John Wick.
Uh-huh. That's pretty... Yeah.
I'll go Split... And, man, I don't know if Rings is going to stick it. I bet you, I bet I could see Rings going down. I could see.
Yeah, I think Hidden Figures could stay up there.
Yeah, I feel like it's got a good track record. So yeah. I'll go five Hidden Figures.
I'm gonna say the same, which is super boring, but that was kind of a collaborative effort. So
Together.
We're gonna go Lego. We're gonna go 50. John Wick, Split, Hidden Figures.
Now we've got
especially now that we got Lego. No one's seeing Dog's Purpose next week.
No, that is very true. We've got some people in the chat chiming away in their thoughts here. We've got Adelia's chiming in Lego Batman, 50 Shades, John Wick. Okay, and then whatever the other two. But it seems like. Ooh, man, some toss it back and forth between in the chat. Meaty Sheck has got Lego, John Wick, and 50 Shades.
$40 million, that's half of what the first one made. I think that, I don't know.
Yeah, there's, I mean, you know, in terms of the marketing, it's just, I mean, I feel like the Lego Batman marketing has just been everywhere and anywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot go, in fact, I just saw
they've had, like, Snapchat filters on for, like, a month.
Yeah. It's been huge. And just if you drive by the Warner Brothers Studios out here in Burbank, where we're located, pretty close to, they've got all the billboards that usually advertise all the various different Warner Brothers TV shows and films. Mm-hmm. Everything's just Lego Batman on there now. You know that's something that the studio's highly
They are
in.
Like,
yes.
They're going to reap the bennies.
So, John Wick 2, I mean, I feel like there's a buzz about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some good advertising.
I mean, I'm definitely seeing advertising. But I mean, when did the last John Wick movie come out?
2014.
Okay, that's not too long. That's three years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I still think it's very much in mind. I think this film is very much stuck around with people. And again,
I thought John Wick was more like 5 years ago, so that's not bad.
Yeah, only three.
Okay, cool. People are going to see it. And people like Keanu Reeves.
That's very true. Man, I'm so torn because
it, but whatever.
I mean, it's playing in 800 less theaters than 50 Shades, but I feel like John Wick in terms of fan appeal and buzz is probably heading up. And I feel like 50 Shades is kind of like teetering down because the first one was kind of like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. I really do feel like all of these three movies are kind of coming in with a blank slate. You know, we're having really low box office numbers. Some of these things have been in theaters for 6 or 7 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
So I really think that we're kind of starting off just totally, totally with a blank slate. Things could come in and kind of make all sorts of different weird numbers, I think.
I feel like the one thing I'd be curious to see how well Lego Batman does because could it top what with the Lego movie? Oh, it's coming out in the middle of February, but still $69 million for the Lego movie. But I think it's got a lot more buzz now that people know the Lego brand a little bit better.
Yeah,
it's Batman, who people already love that as well.
Big voices, big names.
Do you think it beats $69 million?
Yeah.
I could see it doing 80+.
I could see it doing 80.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been wrong before, baby.
Quinn likes to shoot high.
I've been wrong before.
Yes. All right. So, folks, that is our predictions. Kind of a collaborative effort there that Quinn and I did for our next week's top five prediction. But now we're getting ready for the box office bet. So, Alvin, if you want to just do a little recap there in the chat while I explain the rules of the box office bet, Quinn and I will bet on the film that you folks in the chat pick as the film that we will bet on for the box office gross for the following week. The one that gets closest to the actual box office gross gets to have bragging rights, say, you know, the prognosticators, and the person that gets the farthest away will have to go see the film in theaters and then come and tell us all about it. Now, certainly since it's just Quinn and I, you know, it's nobody's safe this week. Mm-hmm. Somebody's winning, somebody's losing.
Somebody's seeing something.
Yes. You gotta be something, seeing something. Gotta be seeing something.
That's not a song.
No, it's not?
Oh, yeah. Gotta be telling something. Are you trying to do Michael Jackson?
That's right, too. Okay. That was terrible.
Okay.
But I think that was not a song.
It wasn't a song, but I got there where you were going, and that's all that matters. Lego might do a Deadpool number. What did Deadpool make? I don't remember. Probably a lot.
That did really well on its opening weekend.
I'll also just give you guys, I'm not going to give you any like numbers or any comments. I'm just going to run through a list of some of the movies I liked from 2016 just to get this out of the way.
Oh, yes. Why?
All right. Presented without order or commentary.
Oh, all right.
The Lobster, Nocturnal Animals, Deadpool, Sing Street, Hello, My Name is Doris, Other People, Tickled.
Man, Tickled, I know you were a big, big fan of that.
I love the weird. Just my amount of weird.
To sidetrack for just 1 second here before it scrolls too far in the chat, Alvin touched base that Deadpool did $133 million its opening weekend.
Gotta be starting something. Thank you, Adelia Cunningham, because we did not know the name of that song.
Deadpool did
$133? Oh, no. Lego will not do $133.
No.
That's crazy talk.
Sadly, we won't even have to worry about that because Alvin tells us in the chat that 50 Shades whipped the competition here in the voting. Seven
Alvin,
votes.
I think I saw you make that pun like three times.
Lego, two movies. John Wick, two movies. Folks, look at you. You treat us so well. We get it. 50 Shades, darker.
Because you never saw the first one.
I never saw. I'm going to be so lost, aren't I?
But you're never going to be able to catch up. It is really dense and there's so many characters. It's like Game of Thrones, but for SNL.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Hope I can catch up with those nuanced characters.
You know, I actually could see myself going to see this, like, anyway.
Really?
Just because I could see my friends being like, wouldn't it be funny when I went to go see 50 Shades?
Okay, so you have to choose their power rank, the order that you would see Lego, John Wick, 50 Shades Darker.
Lego, 50, John Wick.
Because you haven't even seen the first John Wick, have you?
No.
Okay. Got it.
In fact, can we just have the two options?
How dare you.
I'm so sorry. I want to love the things you love.
All right. So the box office, the chat room has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
They have told us to bet on 50 Shades Darker. Now, of course, as I mentioned before, 50 Shades of Grey opened in 2015 with $85 million.
And
it is opening in 3,700 screens. So,
which is a pretty normal release.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's certainly its biggest competition is going to be the Lego Batman movie with over 4,000. So,
I don't think there's a whole lot of crossover there.
Not a lot of crossover.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean,
I feel Lego seems kind of universal. Everyone kind of wants to go see it.
I feel like everybody that would watch 50 Shades of Grey, I bet you a lot of them would also want to see Batman. I can't imagine everybody that would want to see Batman but also want to see 50 Shades.
Mm-hmm. You know what I was thinking of, that there's a different Lego movie? It wasn't that there's a different Lego movie. Is that we had a different movie this year from that studio.
Yes, from the that was Storks.
Was that Storks or Secret Life of Pets?
No, Storks. Okay. The Secret Life was
that's what I was thinking of.
From the
people who know the people.
Yes.
Who worked down the hall from the people who created Lego Movie.
Oh, look at that. All right. On our special smartphones right here, Quinn and I are each going to place our bet of what we think 50 Shades Darker is going to do. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Okay. Gosh, it did.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Man, it did... Remember, it did $85 million its opening weekend in 2015.
It's not going to hit anywhere close to that. It's weird because, like, I kind of feel like I'm shooting for the stars, but I also feel like I'm not going high enough.
All right. I've put in my number. We'll see what happens
here. All right.
Thank you, Adelia, for just chiming in about Storks in the chat. Yeah, there you go. That was a good movie.
All right, you guys ready?
Yes, Quinn, what have you have here?
I'm going 50 mil.
Oh, I went 45 million.
All right. So.
Yeah, pretty close.
I know.
I'm just wanting Lego Batman just to.
Man, I almost feel like we're gonna see these numbers come in and we're going to get 30.
Oh, well, that's fine. I won't be so sad.
No, I know. That's why I'm looking at this being like, I'm kind of shooting for the stars, but hey, at least it's not Miss Peregrine's Home for Supernatural Children.
But, you know, what I love about you, Quinn, is that you're not afraid to go big when mm-hmm. the moment comes.
Go big or go home.
That's right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to wrapping up the show, but I know somebody in the chat asked earlier about DJ Richie Sky and his status with the show. And, of course, he's stepping away right now because he's got conflicts that are preventing him to be a mainstay here. So, as I mentioned, he's going to work on trying to get in here to say a formal goodbye. Mm-hmm. But as my co-host for the evening here, the delightful Quinn Skillian there, she also is going to be stepping away. And she'd like to take a moment to say a few thoughts.
I have really enjoyed working on this show. It has given me such a different way to look at movies and to kind of start to, you know, test the why certain movies make money and the climate and who's going to see what. And it's been really, really, really interesting to talk with you guys and get your guys' perspective about what speaks to people and why we love these and why we go back and how we feel about these crazy things that we watch for 2.5 hours. And I just have really appreciated learning with you guys. And I will be back. I'm not, you know, leaving forever. If you guys need a sub, I will come in and talk with you guys.
The chair is always open.
Yes. But I just wanted to thank you guys, especially everyone in the chat who has been so awesome. And you guys have been, every week after week, have come in here and hung out with us and you know, listened to all my crazy bullshit. I really appreciate that. And it's just been such a blast. I really appreciate it.
How do you think your box office prognosticating skills have increased?
I mean, when I first started this, I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, I mean, every single time it was time to say what we thought the next movies were going to be, there was some serious armpit sweat happening. But it's, I definitely feel like I get it. And it's really, really, really fun to kind of understand the psyche of what people want to see and why they want to see it. And I think it's been really, really, really cool. And I have all of you guys to thank for that.
So can we count on you to at least tweet out your box office
100%
predictions?
100%.
Love it.
Absolutely.
There you go. So, yes. So even though Quinn won't be here on a regular basis for the show, should the need arise, she'll be happy to sub in.
Gone but not forgotten.
Absolutely. So please keep following Quinn everywhere around the internet.
Please.
Especially on Snapchat.
And let's keep talking about movies. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to still want to see everything. Like, you know, tweet me.
Everything? Including John Wick?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about how stupid it is.
Aww.
And then I ruined it. I ruined that lovely moment
with that comment. All right, so what are you going to see first this week? Will you see Hidden Figures, or are you going to wait and see the Lego Batman?
I actually think I want to see Split first. Is that crazy?
No, that's not crazy at all.
I think that's the next one on my list.
Oh, Alvin has one last request for you there in the chat. Finish Max Steel for us. And at least tweet out your thoughts.
You guys want to Venmo me a cent each so I can, so I can rent it again? Just kidding.
You owe it to the chat, Quinn. At least finish Max Steel and tweet out your thoughts.
I will. I will tweet it. It'll be probably a very short tweet.
Or just live tweet while you watch it.
You're right. Well, that's what I'll do. Oh, that would be fun. I'll let you guys know if I'm going to get that up, and I'll live tweet Max Steel for you guys because I think that would be really, really
cool. That would be really cool to see Quinn slowly losing her mind as Max Steel plays.
Yeah, it'll be like a simultaneous instantaneous Snapchat so you can actually watch me panic.
What am I doing? So as Jamie Hubert says, we're losing two of you guys. Yes, so Richie and Sky will be stepping aside here, but Carrie and I will be here, and we'll see what happens in terms of we're going to add anybody else to the panel or not, or just going to be Carrie and I.
We're leaving it in really good hands either way. So very, very...
Carrie's here, guys, so it's, you know, then there's also me, which is like, you know, so you're getting the good and the bad here. Mm-hmm. So usually there's a lot more good and me, so it kind of lifted the show up. But now with the good people starting to drop, it's, I'm starting to drag everything down.
You know what? You're just lucky Carrie's here because...
That's true. That is true.
You know, we got to help the wind this guy the, out a little bit.
The wind beneath the box office breakdown's wings. So, folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. And for, at least on a regular basis, Quinn Skillian. So, ladies and gentlemen, give your biggest thoughts and well wishes and appreciation for the lovely and talented Quinn Skillian.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody, for watching the show. You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everyone, for hopping in the chat. As always, Quinn said it so nicely before. I will just hop on her thoughts there. Thank you so much for chatting with us every week. It really means a lot to us. And if you want to continue the conversation with us or make sure that Quinn does actually live tweet Max Steele, Quinn, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. You can find me on Twitter at Quinn Skillian, and you can add me on Snapchat at QuapChat.
Holy cow, that sounds like a great deal, folks. You owe it to yourself to follow her on all those social media platforms. And you can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie, and I've really been trying to get my gram game going.
Ooh.
Yes.
Hop on the gram.
Getting that gram game.
Slide into them DMs.
That's right. So you can follow me on Instagram at HappyGoJackie as well. I'm just keeping it simple, guys. Just HappyGoJackie everywhere. Look at that.
It was such a pleasure working with you, Frank.
Quinn, the pleasure was all mine.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I had to bother you with all my box office blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. Box office blah, blah, blah.
All right, folks. Have a great week. Enjoy the box office. Get some butter on that popcorn, and we'll see you back here next Sunday night for another episode of Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Bye, everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.